Hello, Cleveland. Great to be here. Thank you for having us. We're on. You can react to that. Great to be back. Love it here, the gorgeous State Theater, and I want that chandelier. I can't get it in my carry-on, though, but that is a great chandelier. I keep looking at the chandelier. It's like mesmerizing. Well, Republican National Convention coming up, of course. Probably the biggest perk during the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, you'll get the delegates will get free admission to the Rock and Roll Museum and Hall of Fame for the delegates. It'll be a quick in and out since the Republican Rock and Rollers wing consists of Kid Rock, Ted Nugent, and Pat Boone. Not a bad lineup if you like that kind of thing. Well, what do you know?
Live from the State Theater at the Playhouse Square in Cleveland, Ohio, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Bill Ransom on drums, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's all the Cleveland news that isn't. Plus, we get chic with Belt Magazines and Trubek and play a Forest City edition of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who could swear he was in Milwaukee, Michael Feldman.
I swear when I'm in Milwaukee, why not? I love you, Cleveland. Thank you so much. I left out, speaking of Republican rockers, Mike Love, the Beach Boys. You remember, bomb, 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 I ran. His big hit. Oh, and Gene Simmons of Kiss, but he's considered a liability. Well, the convention results are already in, and 19% of Clevelanders are very excited about the RNC. Which is actually the largest percentage of Clevelanders who've been excited about anything, so that's kind of a... And another 34% are somewhat excited, also new high in that category, being somewhat excited. What is somewhat excited? I have a little problem with that. I don't think I've been it. Either you're excited or you're not, right? So I don't know what that means. However, if you add up the not too excited, the not at all excited, and the indifferent, you get 90% of Clevelanders. Which is adds up to more than 100%, but so what? It's because it depends on, sometimes they answered more than one way, you know. Emotions are a funny thing. Excitement is a funny thing. Sometimes you're excited, sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're indifferent. It turns out that male Clevelanders were twice as very excited as females, but that's your problem. As is females being twice as indifferent as males. In this regard, convention regard. As always, the best thing about Cleveland's response to the convention are not dry statistics, but the Clevelanders themselves. Here's some of the things they said, asked if they would be working from home during the convention or going downtown, hell or high water. If anything would make them go downtown during the convention, and they said things such as, nothing will get me anywhere near downtown. Nothing would make me more likely to go downtown. Security measures will have traffic rerouted in an absolute nightmare. How is the optimists? I would tend to stay away since there are enough people downtown already. Nothing. I would avoid downtown if at all possible. Nothing. I don't want to be anywhere near it. Nothing. Nothing would get me near to go to Cleveland. I try to stay out of there now. From Parma, apparently. I would not want to deal with a huge crowd of people that would be there. If Donald Trump gets the nomination, I may have to go downtown to protest. I'm not looking for applause lines here, but go right ahead. I almost certainly will not be downtown during the convention. I'll be working for the city to handle the convention. Oh, that's tough. Got to be there. Ride sharing. It just says ride sharing. I don't know. Nothing. Spent a lot of time in Cleveland before. I have no need to visit again. Nothing. Aren't there enough people already? Nothing. Maybe join the craziness. Extra security. None of the above at all. None. None too far travel for me. Was the entire sentence. Nothing's going to get me downtown. Nothing. Change the name of the city. I haven't been in town in many years. Don't intend to go there in the near future. Free parking. Nothing get me downtown when the convention is in Cleveland. No desire to go near the madhouse of downtown Cleveland during the convention. Heck, I won't even be able to take the rapid if I wanted to. I'll be spending my time elsewhere. So just some Clevelanders' responses to the convention. It's very exciting. Or it's somewhat exciting, I guess. All right. Great to be back here in Cleveland. Thank you so much for having us in the beautiful State Theater. This is an amazing place here. You know, I'm from Cleveland's doppelganger, Milwaukee. We should be twin cities, and we're not. You got to be like a foreign city. But we should be, because it's almost the same. We're the buckle on the rust belt, or maybe the zipper underneath it. We have the same ethnic groups, the same industries, or not, now. Same problematic sports teams. The only real difference is our Great Lake is on the right, and yours is straight ahead. So, only difference. I realized the warmth I feel for Cleveland when, in reading back issues of The Plain Dealer for research, I noticed that the cross being carried down Clark Avenue on Good Friday was plywood. That's such a Milwaukee thing to do, to make your cross out of plywood. Because if Jesus were a contemporary carpenter, what would he be working in? Plywood and composite. Okay, not so much laughter. Religion always, not really religion, but just a reference. And what a resurgence in Cleveland. Unbelievable. When the plane landed, I thought we were in Pittsburgh. Just kidding. You know, downtown now in Cleveland is some of the greatest restored-looking classic vacant buildings anywhere. Amazing. I'm not kidding you. If the Roaring Twenties come back, they got a place to go. And artists in lofts. Who knew there were so many artists in Cleveland needing so many lofts? It's amazing. Do artists only live in lofts? I'm very confused why you need a loft to live in if you're an artist or something. You slide down a pole from your loft and hit the art floor. But all those artists now, they must be attracting artists because of all the lofts, and it's like monkeys and typewriters. One of them is going to paint a Picasso eventually, all these artists. First Energy Stadium, a lot nicer than the Municipal Stadium, which I remember. And unfortunately, now the dog pound looks out of place. You know, they should zone them out. But they're already zoned out. They really don't have to. And what an act of faith to build a stadium after the team moved out. I think that's I love that. The good news is the latest incarnation of the Browns remains true to form. And Art Modell's in an unmarked grave in Baltimore. Had to, due to the Cleveland visitors to the gravesite. It really got pretty messy. What about those Cavaliers, though, huh? 3-0 so far. Not just going to sweep them, but it's Detroit. What could be better than that? Unbelievable. The Cavs actually have to sweep, or the Justin Bieber concert gets pushed out of the queue. So. A lot of pressure. Pressure. But no pressure, no diamond. I got to drop my mic after I say that. RG3, you know. Nope. No, no, they'll get mad at me if I drop my mic. I never dropped a mic on purpose. I don't think. Don't do that, I guess. No pressure, no diamond. I was here when LeBron's mom used to rush on court and challenge calls. Is she still playing? Yeah, good. Yeah. Over at St. Vincent, St. Mary's, she'd rush on there and challenge a call. Or actually, she could dunk, too, if she felt the occasion was called for. We have a pre-convention delegate count. John Kasich has one from Westerville. The other results are a little slower in coming in. It's a flexible count, though, since the bars are downtown will be open until 4 a.m. during the convention. So the count's going to go back and forth, a lot of wavering at that point. The delegates, of course, will have to put their pistols on a table before going in through the swinging doors of the convention, just like in the old days. Governor Kasich does have an advantage in that in case of a riot, he gets to call in the National Guard. So it's his. They can drag off all but the undecided delegates. Big boon to Cleveland, though, the RNC, you get to keep the horse raincoats. Serious. Horse raincoats for everybody. And 2,000 suits of armor. Cool. I'm excited about this. No tanks, but in the future, it's safe to say you will be pulled over in Lindale by an armored personnel carrier, so watch for that. That's cool if they don't lodge something at you along the way in doing that. The Cleveland police get to keep their 300 bicycles for their kids. It's all part of the softening up process, softening up the image of the Cleveland police. They have to soften them up for a few days and keep the bike. So, yeah, there will be other softening measures for the Cleveland police. They'll be doing some line dancing, a little pop and lock, and some choral singing. So just as it's going to lighten things up a bit down there during this. I don't know what they're going to do with 3 miles. They have 3 miles of 3.5-foot-high steel barriers, apparently to guard against a surging crowd of little people. So anybody needs that, just call the police department in August. Say, give me a mile of that. I got something for the yard. And then the rest of the $50 million goes to the policeman's ball. Could have been worse, though. Cleveland tried to get the Democrats, too. And those Bernie zealots are really feeling burned about now. It could have been nasty. That's all the news items. And thank you so much, Cleveland. And on with the show. Despite that, the monologue is just a minor setback. Oh, yeah. Ann Trubeck, she is just about the, I think she might have invented the phrase Rust Belt Chic. We'll ask her about that. She also publishes Belt Magazine, which is a return to the old days when journalists used to write things. Pretty amazing stuff. Would you welcome, please, Ann Trubeck, ladies and gentlemen, to our stage. Hello again. How are you?
Hi.
I've got the book, The Cleveland Anthology. This is kind of a throwback to an earlier age of journalism, isn't it? With a lot of what you're doing.
Yeah. We see a certain gap in the amount of in-depth, complex journalism and essay writing happening from the Rust Belt and lots of places that aren't served by the coastal media.
Yeah, but so, everywhere, really.
Everywhere, if you're not out in the coast, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're trying to fill that gap with our online magazine as well as books that are about individual cities around the Rust Belt.
Yeah, but you're not from here.
I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin.
You did?
Yeah.
That's where I grew up, too. Not originally, but my second time around. Yeah, so part of this has been a learning experience for you as well, but what attracted you to the whole Cleveland?
What's not to love about Cleveland, right?
The Cleveland fang. I agree. I totally agree.
And, you know, as a writer and as an editor, as a publisher, there's so much that hasn't been served. There are so many great stories. There's so much fascinating stuff happening now as well as historically. And I just wanted to help tell those stories.
Yeah. And do you give internships and so forth for journalists if they want to, you know?
Well, we definitely have a huge slew of freelance writers and staff. Everyone's paid. The intern thing is, you know, we don't do unpaid internships.
You don't. Well, that's a good thing. Because I was looking for one, but that's all right. If we don't.
Oh, right. No, for you, we'll talk.
Yeah, okay. I got enough put away.
Cleveland rates.
Yeah. And what about the phrase itself for Rust Belt Chic?
I would love to take credit for it, but I can't. It was actually termed by Harvey Pekar's wife.
It was.
Joyce Brabner. Yeah. And she used it to describe the attitude of sort of hip New Yorkers who would show up and be like, oh, cool, the Rust Belt, like, you know, vacant factories and beer. But we sort of use it to describe both that sort of ironic sense of the term, but also a sincere sense of the term, and that there are really fascinating things happening here. And it's a good way to sort of describe both the negative and the positives.
Yeah. Harvey Pekar was on my show. One of the first shows we did here. Yeah.
Really?
I loved him, but he scared me.
He's a scary
guy.
He
wouldn't let you off on anything. You know, he was not, he would pin you on anything. And really? I didn't even know I had to answer for what I said.
I should have
until
listened.
I met Harvey Pekar. You know, and he made you, but he was great, you know.
Yeah, he's Cleveland's best writer ever.
And quintessentially Clevelandian.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because, I mean, what did he work for the...
VA.
For the VA.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, and so many of the characters in the cartoons that they were doing were actually people who he worked with and stuff, and they were all...
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like two-fisted intellectuals. Regular guys.
Yeah, you know, that, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. We got him here in Cleveland.
Yeah. That's a good thing. And then, when you did the anthology itself, this is part of a series, right? A different...
Yes. We've done a book. These are collections of essays by Clevelanders about various aspects of the city. Or sometimes it's ex-Clevelanders, because we have a huge number of ex-Clevelanders, given depopulation over the decades.
Yeah.
And we've done similar books about Youngstown, Pittsburgh. We have one coming out about Flint next month.
Yeah.
We've covered Detroit, someone's going to be mad that I'm at Cincinnati.
Since you mentioned Detroit,
yes.
What is that? Now you mentioned that, like, Clevelanders, let's say, is that another way of saying it? Clevelanders. Are somewhat insular. Like, someone was quoted something that was written by you, or that he'd never been to Detroit.
Right.
That's kind of odd. I mean, it's not that far away. I mean, I'm
from
Milwaukee, but I've been to Chicago.
Right.
What is that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I'm not sure the answer, but I do think that Clevelanders are very prideful of their city. They love their city. But as you know, you said Milwaukee is, you know, Cleveland's doppelganger. There are so many other cities right nearby that are very, very similar and have similar... problems that they're struggling with, as well as histories and immigration patterns. So I don't know. Is it a little bit of too much pride? Clevelanders aren't as interested in what's happening in Detroit and Pittsburgh and Milwaukee. That is, you know, very similar to what's happening here. Or maybe, I don't know, University of Michigan? I don't know.
Are there Clevelanders who've never been to Parma?
I bet there have. We also have in Cleveland, we have an east-west divide, which is very profound.
Yeah,
so,
what is, explain that.
I don't know, but because I'm not from here, I find it mystifying, but I met someone once who's, you know, he's 40, and he's from the west side. He says, I've only been to the east side 4 times in my life.
Did he say what for?
For the museum.
For the museum? Okay.
Yeah.
You never got beyond it and find out why that. I guess you just.
You mean what's really at the root of that?
Their neighborhood rooted. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's a lot of race involved in the division. There's sort of a working class, professional class issues involved. It's strange.
Yeah. What about this phrase, ruin porn? What does that mean?
Those beautiful vacant buildings that you were talking about. That's ruin porn.
Okay.
It's the beauty that is really, you know, based on poverty, neglect, and terrible post-industrial circumstances that creates these actual, you know, ruins that are sad, but also can be aesthetically gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole sort of genre of like, oh, look at, Michigan Central Station, Eastern Station is the epitome of it. This beautiful old buildings that are just completely... covered with vines, windows all gone, copper's been taken out, but have a certain beauty nonetheless.
Yeah. What is your magazine doing with the RNC? How are you approaching that?
That's a good question. So what do you do? What does anyone do, right? Nobody knows what it's going to be like. Yeah. It's such an uncertain thing. So what we decided to do was we're going to announce them on Monday or Tuesday, two fellowships for people to come and to be journalists in town during the whole time, but not talk about Trump, not talk about the delegates, not even go inside the queue, but to really just sort of look at what's happening in the city during those times. And we're going to try to get as many people as we can, many of them who aren't from Cleveland, to sort of approach it with a sort of ethnographic eye about what's happening in Cleveland. I'd love also to start doing some of the statistics that you cited about the what the security is going to be like, where the money from the city is going, as well as if we're going to even get all the money that the host delegation needs. Yeah. Because there's some sponsor issues. So we're going to try to follow it the best we can.
So you won't have a man on the floor like Dan Rather in 68 getting carried out by...
We applied for the press pass. So, you know, if the RNC wants to listen to this and make sure we get a press pass, then we'll go down on the floor, too, and do our special Cleveland brand of yelling.
Yeah. What's the word on the street about, you know, Donald Trump, stupidly, obviously... almost guaranteed a riot if he didn't get the vote,
right.
his delegate and so forth. I don't know why anyone would say that. Doesn't make sense for him as
right.
well as anyone else. And then they're talking about days of rage now. Cleveland, you know,
yeah,
one of the Republican guys, and he's an old guy. He remembers the days of rage. You know, 68, it was a long time ago.
Yeah,
he said it's going to happen here, and they're working it.
Yeah,
what do people think about? They think, are there people organizing here to disrupt the convention what's going on?
It's so hard to know. I mean, nobody predicted Trump, so how are we going to predict what happens in July? And I do have a sense that the people who were anticipating to come to protest before Trump, the anti-GOP in general, Black Lives Matter people, social justice people, I think they have a smaller presence than they anticipated because of how strange the potential other sorts of protests might be, and activists' presence, and the Trump protesters, and all of that. So I think a lot of people are, you know, maybe want to stay away and watch cable.
Yeah. So they're not going to coronate a pig as president, or something. They're not doing the yippie approach. There's none of that.
No, not that I've seen. And if there is, you know, get in touch because I'd love to, you know, find people.
I don't want to plant ideas in anybody's head. There wasn't much economic benefit from Chicago except for the Chicago 7 trial. That was entertaining. But
I do think Cleveland 6, people do say, oh, yeah, it's going to be Chicago 68, Cleveland 16.
Really? Who said that?
Well, the audience doesn't like that.
Who said that? Some of the other things that you're doing now, the Skeptic's Guide, you're involved in a lot of things. I love the Skeptic's Guide to Writers' Houses. I actually haven't seen the book, but that's a wonderful idea.
Thank you. Actually, that's a book that I did, published a few years ago, that was before I started Belt, where I went around to different writers' houses, museums across the country, and tried to figure out why they're appealing to people, and interviewed the curators and looked into the histories of the writers themselves, like the Key West, Hemingway Key West house is very famous, but then, there's this wonderful...
Did he not die in Key West? Because I read in...
He died in Ketchum, Idaho, in another house, which I also went to, where he killed himself.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting place to visit.
Boy, I would have stayed in Key West for that. Rather than go all the way to Idaho to do it. It seems like an odd thing to do. And it's sort of curious, why do people go to it's like a pilgrimage if you love a writer and you want to see. But do you learn something about them from that? And what about the houses they demolished? Who is it? Langston Hughes?
There's Cleveland. A Langston Hughes. There's the house that Langston Hughes lived in Cleveland. It was just for a few years when he was in high school. It's here, and they're not clear. It's not a museum. And also a wonderful Cleveland writer, Charles Chestnut, who is really undeservingly... unknown, to use a lot of uns.
Yeah, he was very famous in his day.
Exactly. He lived in the central neighborhood, and his house is long gone, and would be wonderful to try to at least have some sort of marker to him. To me, the best way to honor the legacy of a writer is to read their books or distribute their books to people who have not read them, rather than worry about, the gutters and the, you know, replacing the windows on the house that they used to live in. But a lot of people find it incredibly meaningful and transformative, and that's what I learned when I did my travels.
Yeah. And is Hart Crane from here?
Hart Crane is from here. He grew up in Chagrin Falls, and then he lived in Cleveland a little bit. And there is there's a park. There's a park down by the river, the Hart Crane Memorial Park, which I bet a lot of people in this audience didn't even know. but it's a sweet little place to go and think about the very difficult, troubled life of Hart Crane.
Yeah, great writer, though. But he didn't write about Cleveland. He wrote about Brooklyn.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't like Cleveland.
I think there's been some long-term resentment, probably.
He didn't like Cleveland. He kept going back and forth. His father would make him go work here, and he didn't want to, but he'd have to because he didn't have any money, and then he'd go to New York, and then he'd come back. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that you're doing, I don't mean to tell you what you're doing, because you know
Please,
that.
Please, this is great. Tell everyone.
The history and uncertain future of handwriting.
That's right.
I find this very personally, because my cursive is getting really bad, for one thing. But nuns are the only ones now who have cursive handwriting, right? They are the carriers. It's like, you know, the monks when they were preserving civilization by their manuscripts. Now the nuns because they keep journals.
And the inmates.
Nuns and inmates.
I've received a lot of letters from prisoners.
I bet the nuns' cursive is better, though, than...
No, you'd be surprised.
I would be surprised.
Yeah. So that's a book that of mine that comes out in a few months on the history of handwriting.
And I think it's so important because it's a different place in the brain where you write with and where you input things on a keyboard. It's totally different. Because you look at me, I'm very analog here. I write on legal pad and can't read it. But you're actually writing, and there's a writing gland or lobe in your brain somewhere. If you're inputting things, you're typing. It's a different skill.
Sure, but how good are you at carving on walls?
Good. Very good. With a spray can, I'm
especially... How are your hieroglyphs?
Yeah, I'm good at tagging walls. I don't know about... What are you saying?
There's been lots of different ways to write over the millennia, right? Whether you're making marks in cuneiform tablets or doing hieroglyphs or...
That's true.
Yeah. So if you look at it in the long term of history, it becomes a different set of discussions.
And but you know what? I think all this phone stuff and texting and abbreviations, it's a way how not to write. It's a way to avoid writing. You know, you can send out a text message and it's a little, like a code or something like that. But you're not crafting a sentence. I love to craft a sentence.
Okay, I'm going to be Harvey Pekar here.
Okay,
so I think that most of the people here in this room would agree with me if I said that you do more writing now than you did 20, 30 years ago.
But it's texting.
Text is writing. Email is writing. Yeah. Twitter is writing. Facebook is writing.
But it's not composing.
It is. People compose.
On the fly, you know, it's like... And it's all abbreviations, and it's like, JK, LOL.
But there were lots of... Those monks...
Stuff I get from my daughters.
But those monks who preserved great writing, those manuscripts are also filled with abbreviations.
Well, fine for them.
Should we move on?
No, but also, I mean, it's a way of avoiding conversation and actually personal... I mean, besides killing writing, I think it's killing... personal interaction. They call it social networking, but there's nothing social about it.
Socrates.
Asocial.
Socrates was like, this writing thing, this newfangled thing is terrible. No one's going to talk to each other, and the really great communication happens when you're face-to-face.
Yeah. Belt Magazine. Do we mention it?
Yes.
It's unique.
It is unique. We are the only... a publication dedicated to the Rust Belt. We're independent, editorially independent. We started just 2 years ago. We're really, having a lot of fun and publishing stories that aren't being published elsewhere.
What is the Spring Salamander Gauntlet? I take my notes. I don't understand what my notes are. It says Spring Salamander Gauntlet.
You do great research.
Yeah.
We're going to really, really miss you.
I'm not dying, by the way. This is not fatal.
We have a nature columnist, and he covers nature in the Rust Belt, and he does these incredible stories of, you know, just goes out and does weird fishing adventures or, you know, insect adventures and writes about them. So the last month he spent a lot of time with salamanders who come out, you know, last month, and they have sex and then they go back under, and it's like this moment where you get to catch them in the act.
Okay. That explains the title then. The Salamander Gauntlet. It also says avoiding raccoons, sexual parasitism.
Right. So salamanders are pretty freaky.
This is all salamanders
we're talking
about? Yeah. Okay.
And that's what they do.
And suburban sprawl. So it's all about salamanders.
Well, if you get rid of the salamander habitats with suburban sprawl, then you have problems.
Yeah. And the other thing that comes up, and certainly in the anthology stuff, is like the rich history of Cleveland and the individual neighborhoods. It's almost like the neighborhoods formed as little cities.
Right.
And eventually they became part of something bigger. And I was looking at a Tremont.
Right.
Amazing. It was the biggest camp in the Civil War.
Yep.
Right here. And the ships were made here. And the iron came in on Lake Superior and the ships were made. It was incredibly important.
Absolutely. And then it was sort of a bedroom community for the mill workers. And now it's hipster heaven.
Hipster heaven. Well, that's good, too.
Right. Yep. But yes, and in fact, we're doing another book that comes out next month called The Cleveland Neighborhood Guidebook, which is a collection of essays just about Cleveland neighborhoods.
And then there's this other thing, because that brought in all the immigrants to work.
That's right.
The Irish, the Poles, the Greeks, the Ukrainians, Hispanics, to work in that. Now there's just this feeling that further immigration is what, not necessary or not desirable? Is that the feeling here in Cleveland or not? It seems to be the feeling almost everywhere now.
Well, I can't speak for all of Cleveland, but I think what Cleveland really would benefit from is a lot more people.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people in the world who need a great place to live, and we should welcome them, and we should do everything we can to attract more immigrants.
I agree totally. Well, I'd like to talk more about the salamanders, and there's so much more to talk about, but I'm afraid we don't have time to do it. Anne Trubeck, thank you so much. Belt Magazine, look for it. Unique. You'll love it. It's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Michael.
See you back in Madison, maybe. Drop by. We'll talk. We'll have a cup of coffee. I love what she's doing. She's doing all these unique things. All right.
I went to that Hemingway house in Key West.
Oh,
it's kind of cool. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, he had a studio over his garage where he would go and write every morning.
Ah.
Kind of neat.
Yeah, I got that kind of set up. But
do you? Oh, you got another house.
I haven't written Old Man in the Sea yet. I'm just texting a lot. I'm tweeting a lot. You know, talking about me. I'll tell you what kills writing is Twitter.
Yeah.
If I have any idea, instead of trying to work it out, you know, but they never work out anyway. But if I try, you know, write some, you know, little humor piece, I just put it on, you know, tweet, and it's gone. It's out there, and no one looks at it, but it's gone.
Oh, I look at it.
You
That's
do.
One. That's one person.
Well, I look at it too, Michael.
Oh, you do?
Okay, two.
Do. Well, you could retweet me once in a while, you guys. I don't get introduce our drummer.
Well, we got Mr. Cleveland drum master, Bill Ransom on bass.
Bill Ransom.
On drums.
He's on drums, yeah. Those are drums.
So we really appreciate him coming down.
And you got to love a drummer who plays with brushes.
Yeah. Oh, he plays with everything.
Yeah, he's great. Fabulous.
Brooms, brushes.
And this guy here, he looks familiar.
And Jeff Hammond is on bass.
Hammond, two N's on the end there. Total of three.
We're going to play a little tune called Let's Get Lost.
Let's Get Lost.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Throw it down. And bring it over to me. Oh, it feels like my shoes are untied, but Oh, I didn't know that was on the air. You never know what you're saying on the air when you're on the air. But I won't have that problem soon. I know, I keep saying these little negative things to myself, so you don't have to. Raymond Rhea is here. This is the guy who, okay, he came all the way from Toronto for this show. Can anyone beat Toronto? Where is Ray? Where are you, Ray? I met him in a hotel last night, and he said, it better be good. I came all the way from Toronto. How do you even get across the Great Lakes to get here? Where do you have to go to get a... Ray? Huh? Did you take a pontoon across the Great Lakes? Okay, Erie? How did you get... I don't know if I can get to you, Ray. I'll try. You're worth it, Ray. You made the longest... Anyone further than Toronto for this show? What? China is not further than Toronto. Do you know where Toronto is? It's in Canada. China, all right, that's good. But you didn't come right from China to this show. Like, Ray, come on, Ray. Explain why you did this and what was your thinking and what's the matter with you? What's your wife's name?
Susie.
Susie. Hi, Susie. I didn't know your name, so I was going to say Ray and Susie came all the way from Toronto. She came with you, but it was at your behest, right?
Yeah, she never even heard of you before.
And she won't hear of me again. It's a beautiful, it's like a perfect situation vis-a-vis me.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So why are you here from?
Well, I used to live in Cleveland. Okay. And
you're an expatriate.
I'm an expat, and but I used to listen to you every Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And when I moved to Canada, I'm relegated to the internet every now and then.
Yeah, they have radio up there too, you know.
Yeah,
so it's pretty good.
Nobody carries you. So the question is...
Well, not me, but...
Well, yeah, but so when are you moving to Canada?
I may have, this is perfect because Trump's coming in. I don't have a job here. Good move. My dad grew up in Vancouver, so I think I could get across.
Sure you can.
I have Canadian content in me.
And that's what they're always looking for. In fact, you better get the paperwork started now because a lot of people are moving to Canada.
You got a card? Leave me your card. Use it as a reference.
Sure.
I want it. Okay. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing it, Ray. I really appreciate it. Very nice of you.
Michael, I think we should give Ray and Susie something for coming so far to see us.
Yeah. What'd you say?
I think we should give them something for coming so far to see us.
Thank you very much. Okay.
So we have bottles of red table wine and white table wine from Thorn Creek Winery and Gardens for you, Ray and Susie.
One of each, red and one white. Can you take that across the border? How do you get here from Toronto? Where do you cross over? All those lakes are, and there's a seaway. What? Buffalo. Oh, yeah, okay. There's an answer you don't often get. Buffalo. Why does my daughter exclude me from her selfies? Why would she include you in her selfies? Selfies, by the nature, are of your daughter. You can photobomb her, leap into your daughter's selfies, but that's not going to do you any good with her. I don't know who wrote this. It's unsigned, but I would say just forget about it. Rob Coulton, Chagrin Falls. When you are done with your job, do you want to come over and watch Matlock? That you? Is that it? Just Matlock? What else are we going to watch? Matlock,
yeah.
It's only a half hour,
maybe
isn't it?
Murder, She Wrote, we could do that.
You know, I never cared for her.
I don't know what else. There's some good daytime shows we could watch together.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
You available?
Do you have other cable than just the old TV shows?
I live out in the country. I have some sort of satellite, so.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
We in?
Yeah, sure. We're going to have a lot of time as of July 1, so.
Okay.
Come on. Do you have a spare room?
Yeah, I got plenty of room.
Is there a TV in the room? Because then I don't have to mess with you so much. And...
Yeah. It's all, we're pretty modern.
Matlock, I like, but what was Matlock anyhow? He was his actual job.
I don't know.
What?
He's a lawyer.
Lawyer? I thought he was something else. Okay. All right. Let's see. I'm getting all kinds of offers. People thought I wouldn't get offers. My wife wants me to ask you over for dinner tonight. She's always asking celebrities over for dinner, but none of them ever show up. Jim Gross from Lakewood. And Susan, here's Susan's girl. The undercard too. She says in her card, please come over to our house for dinner this evening. Good food. You are welcome. Where are the grosses? Okay. Here are the grosses over here. Yes. Let's get both the grosses come down here because I don't want to step on them, and they don't mind if you step on them. Because it's people. Okay. Jim and Susan Gross. And so do you do this often?
Well, we always try to approach celebrities, but nobody ever comes.
Yeah. You know? Who have you tried?
David Copperfield, Jay Leno, President Carter.
Was that the last president you tried and just gave up after?
W the first. W, yeah. Yeah, nobody ever comes.
Did you ever get a little note or polite refusal? Or?
But David Copperfield sent a nice glossy 8x10.
You got a picture from him, yes.
He did?
An actual picture, yeah.
Well, that's very nice of him. I'll have to send you something now to keep up with David.
You didn't read the rest of the note.
What did I say?
You know, we have clean sheets if you want to stay over.
Did you mention that to these other people as well?
Yes, yes.
And it sounds really kinky, you know, getting kinky with the grosses, you know. That's not what it's about, though.
No, no.
It's about the cooking, okay. Absolutely.
And she's a good
cook. Wonderful
cook. If I do come, well, you know, I'm leaving town. But, you know, I could come back. I'll have to hitch.
Maybe lunch then.
Well, what's for dinner tonight? Brisket.
Potatoes.
Scalloped potatoes, my favorite.
Uh-huh. Ice cream.
Clean sheets, I love. Thank you very much.
Nice. Really, thank
very
you
nice very to meet you. The grosses. I believe we got to probably, yes, we do. We got to, I'm getting offers. I don't care. I'm getting offers, and they're good offers. These offers. You like my shirt, by the way?
I do.
Okay. Pandering. It's called pandering when you work a shirt. Cleveland, we're not Detroit, is my shirt, for those of you who don't. But what is that? What is so bad about Detroit?
They're not Cleveland.
They're not Cleveland. Okay. Do you think they're wearing shirts saying the opposite in Detroit?
I'm from Detroit, and I'm pretty sure they have the same reverse cert.
All right. Anyhow, this chance right now to play the What Do You Know quiz. Before we can do that, we have to have the four disclaimers. This, by law, is required and tells who cannot participate. You are?
Geraldine, like your mother.
Geraldine, like my mother, and I'll give you this.
Okay.
Out of your way.
The four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, the RNC is the only thing that could make me spend a week in Detroit. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones, trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Thank you, Geraldine.
I see you.
Hey, good job. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them. This young man here is waving his arm. Come over to that aisle, and I'll meet you over there, because young people are going to lead us in the future. And you're wearing a What Do You Know shirt.
Yes,
not much since 1985, yes.
The year I was born.
Really?
Yes.
So how's this time been for you?
Pretty good.
Yeah, good.
Pretty good.
And your name is?
Jeremy Babbitts from Parma Heights.
Parma Heights. Now, when you say Parma Heights, is it actually higher than Parma?
A little bit.
Slightly?
Slightly.
So you'd notice?
No, not really.
Jeremy, right?
Yes.
Give me one good reason, Jeremy, you should play this quiz.
I've been listening to you for about 25 years, and I've been a big admirer of you.
Yeah,
And it's such a pity that you gotta do what you gotta do now.
I gotta do what you gotta do. That's life. That's life in Parma Heights, too. Believe me, it's no different. Jeremy, have a seat. Make yourself to home.
I gotta get some paper to write on here. Some of my famous legal pad. You know, I didn't know I was analog until... someone played the quiz one time and saw my, you know, this is my recipe box with the quiz questions in it. And they said, man, you're analog. And I, oh, God, I guess I am. I didn't even know there was such a thing. But I am, definitely. How's your cursive? You have good cursive?
Yeah.
It is? Okay. Okay, everything's a mess here. I'm sorry. Excuse me for this little delay here.
Oh, not a problem.
What are you doing these days, Jeremy?
I work at Frito-Lay.
You do? Oh, good. Good job. Enjoy it. Pay is good. Benefits
are good.
Pays
the rent. Benefits are good. I've been there 10 years, so.
Yeah. You seem like you're only about 18 or something. So you're
I'm
not.
I'm 30, no.
You're 30.
I get that.
You're as old as my show. That's pretty old. You're doing much better, though, I must say, I think. And
actually, the show's older, isn't it?
No, I'm May 29th.
Okay. And so, all right, and what do you do for kicks these days? You have any fun or just working?
I work, play video games.
Video games?
Go hiking.
See, you are 18 at heart.
At heart.
You hike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have, like, really nice metro parks around here, the Cuyahoga Valley National Park.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Anything more exotic than that in your, as far as you do?
I used to live in Alabama and used to go fishing and stuff.
Really? Are you from here?
I was born here. I moved down there in 1990.
Yeah.
And,
on a whim? Was it on a whim?
No, it was problems with my grandfather. His health was declining.
Oh, so you went, he's down there?
Yeah, yeah, he passed away in 2000. Oh, yeah. But after that, we lived down there for 10 years, our family, and then we moved back up here to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Been here since.
Yeah, glad you did. Okay. Jeremy, someone there plays along with you. You know, that's a cooperative thing. You've heard this long enough. I mean, did you have to listen to it as a kid? Did you?
No, I...
You did it willingly?
Yeah.
You're almost unique. We've had kids...
My wife calls me an old man at heart, so...
Well, that's nice of her. She married an old man at heart, so that's very sweet of her, too. So some of their call, and how does that work then? What's the number, Stephanie Lee?
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 216-664-9653 and answer this qualifying question.
Okay. This is a bad question. Oh, well. Try and answer it anyhow. We'll fix you up. Cleveland, among other things, it has like there's 22 like sister cities in Cleveland. I don't know if you knew that, but it also is the home of the Consulate General of the Republic of what? And I'll make it multiple choice because it's hard. Is it the Republic of Slovenia, Slovakia, or Lithuania? So it gives you a chance there. Those are three different countries, in case you're wondering. All right, that's a pretty big deal to have a Consulate General of the Republic of Slovenia, Slovakia, or Lithuania. If you know, give us a call. What's that number again?
That number again is
216-664-9653. Does it spell out something?
It does. It spells A1, as in the steak sauce, and then Mom, I woke, as in Mom, I woke up to listen to Michael Feldman.
A1, Mom, I woke.
Correct.
Okay, that's a good one. Or 216-664-9653, Consulate General of the Republic of what is the question? Tom's on the line here from Cleveland Heights. Tom, now are the heights any taller than Cleveland? When they put heights, when they put an affix saying heights around here, does it actually mean it's more elevated? Sorry, Tom, if you didn't like that question. Are you gone? Yes, he hung up. Or we lost the connection. Paul's in Kent. Now, are you from Kent Heights?
Hi, Michael. I can hardly hear you.
Oh, okay. Hi, Paul.
That's better. Thanks, Mike.
How are you?
Michael, hey, I'm going to miss you tremendously. I've enjoyed your show for so long, and I've been on the quiz before. I just wanted to say that. Come on down to Kent. I got plenty of beer, plenty of food. Welcome anytime.
All right. How about the sheets?
Oh, well, bring your own sheets.
Did you want to try and answer this question, Paul? Or you...
Well, I don't, except I wish that I could hear you every week. There's some confusion about when you're on, and I really miss you.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to miss you. Take care.
Come to Madison and live in my garage.
All right. I have a good friend there who dates Clyde Stubblefield's ex-girlfriend.
I don't even want to go there. Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Paul. Norman is in Cleveland, or Cleveland is in Norman, one of the two. I don't know. Norman, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, sir?
How are you?
Good, and happy Passover.
Thank you. You know, I'm missing it this year, actually, because I was here last night.
Too bad. You should find a theater to go to. I want to say hi to my friend Ruth, who's in the audience there.
Ruth? Norman says hello.
And I would be there, except that I have to teach.
All right, well, let me ask you this, Norman. Cleveland is home to the Consulate General of the Republic of which of these? Slovenia, Slovakia, Lithuania?
Lithuania.
No. Sorry, but happy Passover. Tom is in Walton Hills, Ohio.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. Did you hear the question, Tom?
I did. I didn't hear any of the answers.
That's what you're for, Tom. Slovenia, Slovakia, or Lithuania?
I'm going to guess Lithuania.
You got to listen more closely, but thanks, Tom. Anna is in Chagrin Falls.
Hi.
Hi, Anna.
How are you?
Good. I'm good.
Good. I have a funny story to tell you.
Oh, good.
I am actually on my way to pick up my son from Slovenian school.
So it's Slovenia.
So I know the answer. Because...
Okay, yes. Yes, congratulations.
Thank you.
Slovenia. We got to go right to the quiz here now, really quick. Are you driving right now?
I am.
Okay. Do you want to pull over just for safety's sake, or can you?
I can, yes.
Okay, that would be best, because I hate to have this on my conscience for the rest of my life. Anna went over Chagrin Falls, right over the falls.
Yes.
And Anna, we got Jeremy here is your partner. And
Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Anna.
So you two will collaborate as soon as you... Can you park somewhere safely, or just pull off somewhere?
Yes.
Are you doing it?
Yes.
How's it going?
Good.
Are you off the right-of-way, roadway?
I am pulling into a parking lot to pick up my son as we speak.
Oh, that's okay. So this is killing two birds with one stone.
Correct.
All right. We have a variety of categories, don't we?
We do. Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Anna, what would you like?
Things you should have learned in school?
Things you should have learned in school. We got it. This is going to have to be a one-fer because we're about out of time here. So if you get this right, you win a shipload of prizes.
Oh, we like those kinds of prizes.
Yep.
Okay. One, two, or three out of four college students regularly check their pedometers.
Their pedometers. I would say just one.
Colin, we're talking college students here now. Talk it over.
No, I understand that. There's other things they'd be checking, but pedometers, I'm not sure.
Well, this is assuming they have a pedometer. So if they have a pedometer.
That's my point.
Yeah.
You know, Fitbits and all that took pedometers away.
One, two, or three. Weigh in on this, Jeremy.
I'm thinking two.
One, two, or three. Did you hear all three of the options?
I did. I believe they were
Could
one,
be as
two,
high
or three.
As, yeah.
Maybe one.
Or three. It's surprising what these college students will check every so often. It's amazing.
Or three.
Yes, three out of four is right. Unbelievable. They're always checking their pedometers. You got to have a college
Jeremy, you've won a bottle of fine Pinot Grigio from Thorn Creek Winery and Gardens. See all the latest movies with a dozen passes from Cleveland Cinemas with screens at seven area locations. Parnell's Irish Pub before attending an appearance of Bill Maher on June 4th in the Connor Palace of Playhouse Square. And carry your stuff in a handsome Chico Bag Nomad tote from 90.3 WCPN IdeaStream, along with a matte black NPR coffee mug. Anna, you'll be returning to Playhouse Square in May to see Matilda, the musical, here in the State Theater. Wow. Then have some whimsical small plates with choice libations at nearby Bin 216.
Great for not knowing the answer.
Head on over to see the sights at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Relax with a bottle of Syrah from Thorn Creek Winery and Gardens in Aurora, Ohio, along with a selection of delicious goodies from Mally's Chocolates, makers of fine chocolate since 1935. Congratulations to both of you.
Nice job, Jerry.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI,
sure
Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International.
Jeremy! Stand at home!
This is PRI, Public Radio International.
Rochester.
Live from the State Theater at the Playhouse Square in Cleveland, Ohio, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Bill Ransom on drums, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know? It's music from Hey Mavis, cured treats from the Sausage Shop, and cool brews from Platform. Plus, the Cleveland Clinic's very own Dr. Michael Roizen and a North Coast round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who learned the expression as no pressure, no hemorrhoid, Michael Feldman.
Hey, Hey Mavis has joined us here on stage from all the way from Kent. And it's they call what you do Americana. Do you accept that title, or would you rather reject all labeling?
It just depends on the day.
Depends on the day. And we've got Lori Michelle Kaner and Eddie Kaner. You're kind of the nexus of this band here, right? Did you form this band between the two of you? And
yes. Yeah. Yes, we did.
You answer for everything that I ask him?
Yes.
That's a good policy to have.
It's band policy.
But you know, I was looking at you. Band policy.
I'm the only one with a vocal mic, you notice.
But I was looking at Eddie's, it says that you're a sideman to Pavarotti and Smokey Robinson.
At the same time. No, that would have been really interesting.
Yeah, either one of them at any time. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I was a freelancer for a long time, and that was some of the gigs.
You played the fiddle for Pavarotti?
Mostly violin. Yeah, classical, you know.
Yeah. Is there a difference between a fiddle and a violin?
Details. Okay.
Lori, would you like to introduce the rest of the band as well? So we know.
Sure, we have Brian Thomas on bass. And Anthony Tadeo on drums. And Kevin Johnson on guitar.
And I'm told, I don't know by who, that you're on the Mrs. Banjo Babes calendar. Is that true?
Yes.
There's the rest of them. That's March. That's March through June up there.
It was Miss May.
Yeah.
And last year, though, so.
What?
Of last year.
Last year? Okay.
Yeah.
So. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. I never made a calendar either. That's not the regrets you have in your life. Tell us what you're going to play for us here. And first of all, what's your current release, CD release?
Our current release is entitled What I Did. And we released that last year in March, I believe.
Great. Yeah. Is the first song, is this off that release?
No, because this is brand new.
Oh, cool.
It is brand new. So I was actually born in Michigan, so I'm slightly offended by your shirt.
Well, just slightly.
Because I was born in Detroit, but that's okay.
When I'm in Michigan, I love them. That's just the way I am.
So this song was written about the love affair between Clara Ward, who was the daughter of Michigan's first millionaire, and a gypsy violinist.
Oh, perfect.
I was born with a restless heart, scandal and riches from the start. No prince, no king could cool my fire down. What could I say, gypsy man? Please, won't you kiss my tiny hand? I'd love
So evocative. Oh, that was fantastic. Wonderful.
Thank you.
You're wonderful. You're wonderful. You're all wonderful. But Brian's got that. Is that the famous Chunk-O-Matic 6000?
Oh, no. The Chunk-O-Matic is not here today.
No. Well, what is that? He's playing whatever he's sitting on.
Yeah. This is its cousin.
This is it.
What is that?
It's a foot tambourine.
It's a foot tambourine.
Okay, cool.
It doesn't deserve a cool name like Chunk-O-Matic. But, you know, it works.
As a rule, you can't have 2 foot tambourines in one band. Too much critical mass.
Well, you break a lot of the rules, though, in Hey Mavis. That was fabulous. Wonderful. And what do you got for us now? Another one, I hope?
Sure, we have another one.
If you're not too offended by my shirt, do you feel like...
No, I have forgiven you.
Oh, thank you.
I did.
It's pandering. I just pander wherever I am.
It's good.
By the way, that last one that we just played is on a new release as well. It's just a little release, 2 songs.
A little release.
You know, it's like just a little guy.
Oh, I have a little release. I'll see if it's on that.
Yeah, man.
And what is that called?
EP. I'll stick to EP then.
Okay. All right.
This one's called Red Hot.
Red Hot. Sounds good.
Of sunset, the color of rising dawn, but my favorite is the color of you gone. It shines just like silver, glows just like gold, but I miss that red hot when our bodies unfold, bodies unfold. Thank you.
of your hand. Feels real good at midnight, but in the morning you're just a man. Once you get the pot burning, you got to blow on them coals. If that flame it goes out, you're going to get cold. Listen to what mama preach. Dig a hole down in that earth, pray that hole your heart to keep. Do not walk the path I have, no, give away what I gave. Live with both wings outstretched, not one foot in the grave. One foot in the grave.
Great. Hey, Mavis. Check them out. Get their stuff. Buy it. They're going to be in Rochester if you're around there. So be there. Okay. You know, Dr. Oz has a doctor, and we have him here with us right now, Michael Roizen, MD, ladies and gentlemen. He's got a do-over book now. You can do yourself over, and you can live unlimited numbers of years. I'm going to check into that. Would you welcome, please, Michael Roizen, MD, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Oz's doctor. How are you? What is the scarf you got here?
This is a scarf to celebrate the Cavs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we want you to be an honorary Cavs fan.
Oh, thank you. It's a little warmer. I'd wear it right now. However, go Cavs. Very nice.
Say that louder.
Yeah. You have seats for the Cavs, right?
I'm fanatic.
Yes. Are you courtside?
Close.
How can you be close to courtside? Either you are or you aren't.
Well, so you can see the big screen without killing your neck.
That's good. This is the new book. This is your duo. By the way, does Dr. Oz, when he has something here that goes like this, does he come to you?
We talk a lot.
You talk a lot. I mean, will you give him a little look at?
If need be, yes. He's pretty good at managing himself.
Well, I know.
He stays healthy.
You can't operate on yourself.
I brought a set of books for you, not just one, but a lot of the books we wrote so that you could give them away.
Okay. We'll give them away. Just leave them there. And I guess there are 7 secrets. If they're secrets, why would you publish this and ruin it for everyone?
So that everyone in the audience could have the secrets.
So you got
we really have to be serious for just a second. We really have a serious problem in America because our diabetic rates are, which were less than 1%, are now around 10%.
10%.
And the prediction is that they will, someplace between 150 and 220 million Americans. We'll have it by 2050.
Yeah.
And if we treat them at the same cost we do now, that's 15% of our GDP, not 15% of medical expenses. So will dementia care, so will osteoarthritis care, so will heart attack and post-heart attack care, so will cancer and post-cancer care, which means we don't need that and food, and you don't need radio shows or, if you will, manufacturing or anything else, which means we can't get there.
Yeah.
So a large part of our income inequality is caused by the increased medical expenses of chronic disease.
Yeah.
So these are the
secrets. Was that all one sentence, by the way? A lot of commas.
Well,
there are a lot of commas in there, I'll tell you.
It's a really important sentence for America.
Right. No, I see what you're
saying. And so, that's why we wrote the book, because you can get a do-over. This isn't our change in our genes.
Yeah.
It's a change in our habits.
Yeah. Did they give Dr. Oz the TV show instead of you? Is there a little resentment lingering, you think? Because Dr. Oz, everyone knows Dr. Oz. But that could have been easily.
As you can tell, he's much better at sound bites than I am.
Yeah, well, he's good. He's very good. Let's cut right to the longevity thing now. I know it's a little bit controversial, but what's the difference between living to 150 and 160? Is it smoking?
There are 14, I hate to be serious again, there are 14 major areas of research on things that cause us to age.
Right.
One of which is...
Marriage.
well, marriage is a double-edged sword,
and it swings both ways, believe me.
It can make you a lot younger or a lot older.
Yeah.
So, never mind.
Okay.
It's the best thing I ever did was meet my wife. So we can say that.
No, I met her, and I feel the same way about her.
One of these areas is likely to have a breakthrough. The same guy who predicted that there would be a breakthrough in when Big Blue would beat the chess champion Kasparov the early 90s, predicted that sometime between 2020 and 2030, one of these areas would have a breakthrough and we would be able to live to 160 at the same quality of life we have at 45.
That doesn't make him reliable as a source, though.
It's absolutely not reliable. He is the chief innovation. He is the chief innovation officer at Google, so he has some...
Well, once again, that's Google, If a machine is going to beat a chess master or something, not the same as saying that suddenly people are going to be 160, is it?
No, it isn't.
No.
But what he is saying is the research is advancing fast enough that it is likely that one of these 14 areas will have a breakthrough, and we will sometime in the next 10 years learn to be able to live to 160 with the same quality of life we have now.
You mean this bad?
Yeah, this good.
Wife and everything for 160 years?
We can listen to replays of What Do You Know?
Yeah. Well, I could do the show for 100 years instead of 31 lousy years.
You can come back.
Yeah. Well, there's enough time for a comeback, I think.
Right.
So do you think you're going to live to be 150?
I think it is very likely.
Because you must be doing all the right things, right?
I am trying to do all the right things.
What were some of those right things be?
One of them is walking. There's four areas in physical activity. Yeah. There are five foods to avoid. And one of the keys is managing stress. Mm. And another is enjoying life and laughing a lot. Yeah. So that's why we should keep listening to your show.
Yeah. Okay. Nicely turned around, doctor.
Now, I have a quiz question for you.
No, wait a minute. Let's go back. This is pretty important.
I have a question
for
you.
No, wait a second. Wait a second. You didn't get the Oz show. You're not going to get my show. Wait a minute. Don't be so nice to me. I forget what I was going to say now.
Well, I didn't. So
okay, go ahead.
We have one thing in common. We were both fired or terminated by the same radio station.
Oh.
What was it?
I can't remember. There's been some. We're on WGN for a while?
WGN. Oh, yeah, both terminated our programs.
Ah. Okay, well, that's a conversation starter. Let's go back to the seven secrets and get out of this whole thing now. Walking, you say walk 10,000 steps a day?
Right, so therefore, we don't know why walking is such a wonderful thing. You talked in the last hour about the college students checking their pedometers. Well, it is a good thing. You want to get 10,000 steps.
Yeah.
Somehow 10,000 steps breaks down the metabolic problem that insulin resistance causes.
Hmm.
And so you at 10,000 is much more than 8,000, 12,000 doesn't give you more health benefit. You get more fit.
Just
but
knock
you don't
off
get,
a 10.
You don't get more health benefit than 10,000. So we should give you a pedometer and have you do 10,000 a day.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? What I was thinking, they find that these devices that count people's every movement and stuff cause stress. So aren't you, in effect, you're doing the exercise, but they're checking them, and they're kind of, I don't have my 10,000 steps, you know.
Is that
stress-inducing in some way?
You can manage stress, hopefully, and that's another big part of the living longer.
I mean,
could
you just walk that much without counting them?
Sure you can,
yeah.
But it's much easier if you count it. You know, I don't go to bed without 10,000, so I do live it, if you will. And it's really easy to do, and I guess I feel really proud when I do it.
So it's 11 o'clock, 11:30, 12, I don't know when you go to sleep.
Well,
You're in bed, and you notice that you've only got 7,000 steps left there.
Do you get
up and walk around your room?
I get on a treadmill, yes.
You do? You will?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I set it for California time, so I have 3 extra hours when I'm in the East Coast.
Okay. What do you do when you're on a plane? All that wasted time. Are you one of those guys who walks up and down?
No, you can't walk up and down the aisles, but you can walk. You know, one, they're nice enough to give the corridors in the airport a long way,
if
you will. And you can walk around the airport.
Okay, let's go on to the five food felons.
Right, so there are five foods. Everything else is fine to eat. There are five foods that age our body.
Yeah.
Added sugar, added syrups. Simple carbohydrate. By the way, I don't know who set up the food backstage in the green room, but I think they were trying to kill you.
Okay. I didn't eat it. They escaped me.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, so added syrups,
and John,
added sugar.
John tastes all my food for me. So.
You mean they're trying to kill John?
Apparently, indirectly.
Anyway, and then food that's associated with saturated fat and then trans fat, which will be bad. So they're banned in the United States.
So it's like three sugars and two fats.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So everything else is fine.
That shouldn't be hard to do.
No, not hard to. And the great thing is what you want to do, as Jim Perko in our kitchen says, if you will, our test kitchen at the Cleveland Clinic says, in fact, you want to love food that loves you back.
Ah.
So you want to develop food, find foods that you love to eat and have those and modify those so that you eat them frequently and that will love you back.
Let's cut down right to number five. Get it on.
Right, so
what does that mean to you? We're of the same generation, aren't we? Let's get it on.
Right. So relationships are important, and
relationships. Forget it. I thought it meant, you know. Boy, that hurts if you're doing it for no reason. Yes, go on.
So
they're saying.
So for both men and women,
sexuality. Can we
sexuality
call it that?
Does lower, make you younger. It's mutually monogamous sex, hopefully. And
mutually monotonous sex, is that what you said?
Yes, mutually
monotonous.
And there's pretty good data that the more orgasms you have, both really? Men and women, the younger you will be.
Yeah. I'm having one right now, just talking
about it. I wondered what that expression was.
I think I went down about 6 months.
They can't see that on the radio, unfortunately.
I lost 6 months just now.
Actually,
let's go for a year, Doc.
We say that's getting a year younger, right?
Okay. Now, all right, so that's pretty self-evident. How much sex should we have for not having it? How much should, just once
well,
a day?
Well, the
once a month?
Once a day works pretty well.
Once every lunar, new
we
year?
We don't have a lot of data greater than once a day. You know, yeah. It's hard to get a control group for that.
Yeah. college students. The college students. Get them, they got pedometers, they got like sex once a day, at least.
So the average 58-year-old man in America has, and we have much...
John just took one of your books. And...
Good. The average...
He's cutting right to get it on.
The average 58-year-old man in America has sex 58 times a year. It just works out.
Is it by age?
It just works out. It doesn't
you know,
go up
I'm
as you
67
get older,
now,
usually.
But I'm not getting it 67 times.
So if you have it, if you triple
not
that...
Not even in the millennium, I don't think.
If you triple that to 150 times a year, three times a week, it makes you about 8 years younger.
Wait a minute, you have to
be.
Triple it? You're getting it... How often you...
Well, no. Any increase is better.
You're getting it once a week, approximately, right?
If you're 58? If you're on the typical American
And you've got
man.
To convince her to do it three times a week?
Right. Or she,
can I,
or she you.
Could you write me a prescription?
Wait a second.
Honey.
In fact, at Executive Health at the Cleveland Clinic, where I do some of this, I've had a number of patients come in and ask for prescriptions. Some even women ask for prescriptions for that.
Yeah. Okay, good. Was there a Sandy Wolins who came in? No, I don't think so. Prescribe yourself passion. Is that the same thing?
Correct. Okay. So you want to have...
Those
well,
two
it's
are
not,
together.
That's really not the same thing. But whatever you do, I mean, I feel very fortunate because I get to talk about what I'm passionate about, helping people stay and get younger.
Yeah.
And so that's one of my passions.
I say have a passion.
Yes, so have a passion.
Yeah.
You may be doing it because you love the radio show and you do a great job making the rest of us laugh. So maybe that's your passion.
So I should get another passion is what you're saying.
If this is your only passion, you should get another one.
All right, thanks, doctor. I appreciate that. And finally...
Maybe WGN needs another morning person.
They called me back years later. But I think
they didn't call me back.
I think it was the wrong number anyway. They thought it was someone else. And seven of these, recruit a buddy.
Right, so... The most surprising thing, what we did is I started a website called realage.com, which you can calculate. It's a free website. And on that site, what we found is that when people come back repeatedly, what they say is the secret. We did 1 million people who had come back out of the 18 million. 1 million came back and kept making themselves younger. And those that came back and making themselves younger, they had these seven secrets.
When they come back, what do you mean come back?
They come back to the website and do their real age.
Oh, they
return
to the website.
Right. And the key was having a buddy. That is someone who they enjoyed being with, who also had the same health goals as they did, who also wanted to have a do-over or get themselves younger. So the key, really, in maintaining health is having someone you love being with who also wants to be healthy.
Okay, and what are the odds on that?
Well,
on any of these, the sex and
well, in fact, we had we started a place called Buddy Match on the site. So
really,
yeah,
are you serious?
And we had when
I can get
when,
a buddy.
You know, yeah, and so you on a doc came out, you on a diet came out, and you on a diet sold a huge number, but we had after 6 months we had 360,000 pairs of buddies on the site. Emailing each other or talking to each other through the site daily. So it was a huge, huge thing. People can get a buddy who has the same goal of losing weight, and it really helps.
And is there a way, now you're 58, did you say?
I'm 57. I'm actually 70.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
My real age is really about 50, but my calendar age is 70.
Really?
Yeah. You want to see my driver's license?
No, I really don't. You look marvelous.
Thank you. I do all the things in the books.
You do, huh? And did you look really horrible before you started doing those things? I mean, before you figured this out, and you look like a, you know, like an old guy on a bus you might see, but and now
well,
you're.
That's the remarkable thing about getting a do-over. Yeah. You really, and in fact, we do this with a lot of people on the Dr. Oz show. My favorite is a guy named Rocco, who's in the book. Yeah. Who literally looked like he was about 80 when he was 53, decided he wanted to live for his grandkids,
yeah.
Totally reformed, pulled 70% of the plaque out of his coronary arteries with just his own lifestyle changes, still appears with me periodically. It's now about 6 years later, and he looks at least 30 years younger than he did when he was on the first time on the Dr. Oz show.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, so outward appearance is a reflection of your inward health.
The book is called...
No one's laughing, but that's true.
That sounds great. No, it sounds
if I've got to tell you when to laugh, we're not going to do very well.
No, we're not. This is your do-over, Seven Secrets. Dr. Roizen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
A pleasure to meet you. Fascinating stuff. It's worth looking at. It's worth living this way if it does all those things. Thank you. Leave the books here. We'll just throw them out to the audience. Anyway. We won't throw them out. Dr. Michael Roizen is at the Cleveland Clinic as well, and he writes all these books, and he's Dr. Oz's doctor. Are we breaking here?
Yes.
What? Are we on break now?
No.
No. What?
Oh,
what
I think it's time. I think it's time for the trio to play a tune for us.
Okay. You don't have to point. You can actually say that. You're going to play a tune for us, trio. Your choice. One, two, three, four.
Gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
Oh. Okay, I'm coming. I'm sorry, Jeff. Was there something that you wanted to talk? I know usually Jeff talks off the air,
yeah.
So I just give him a chance here. What was it you wanted to talk about that I just was ignoring you?
Oh, there's nothing in particular.
Now I don't feel so
well
bad.
Said,
I thought
Jeff.
There was something in particular that you wanted to talk about. Come back down here in the audience. The beautiful theater here, the State. It's the State, isn't it? There's three of them. You never know which one you're in. This is gorgeous. You know anything about this theater, when it was built or anything?
No.
Who knows anything about this theater? It's magnificent. It's palace. Must have been a vaudeville palace is what I'm thinking originally. Was it? Yes? Okay. Vicky Spanis, Burton, Ohio, being a kid. That's your job, being a kid? Okay. All right. Yeah, come on, Vicky, see if you can get over towards me, because you're young and, you're going this way, okay, I'll meet you down here then. Okay, no, you're going back up this way? Okay, well, we need through, come on over here, this row's perfect, yeah, oh, wow. Hey, Vicky, how are you? You're looking good.
Thank you.
Is this a new, what is that, a cat on there on your?
Yeah, it's a cat.
Yes. Are you a cat person?
Yeah.
Do you have a cat?
Yes.
What's your cat's name?
Oreo.
Oreo,
no.
Okay. And that's very cute. And, you asked, what's your question that you asked here, Vicky?
Why is what job you have a question on the thing we filled out?
Okay. You think that's... Because not everyone has a job for kids?
I don't know. I was just curious.
It's a way of talking to people. You know, find out when what they like to do and so forth. Now, your job is what, going to school, right?
Sure.
Okay. The job you would choose, if you had to choose a job, would you choose to go to school or choose something?
I like going to school.
You do? What do you like?
Being with my friends and learning things.
Yeah. Is there something that you learned recently that you're very glad you learned?
I don't know. I just like learning
things.
I like,
learning things. Is there a subject that you like more than others? Do you like?
I like reading, but
you do?
I like everything else.
Yeah. What are you reading right now?
I just read Treasure Island pretty recently.
Oh, did you? Well, that's good. Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty. That's a.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's excellent. And then, let's see, what school do you go to, Vicky?
Burton Elementary.
Yeah. So, which?
Fourth.
In fourth grade. Okay. Well, very nice. Anything I can answer for you? Any question you want to ask me? Besides the like an idiot.
Okay. Not really.
Very nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Well spoken, Vicky. What do we have for Vicky?
For Vicky, we've
got
a...
takes a lot of courage to get up at that.
It
we got a little
does.
Present for you, don't we?
For Vicky, we've got a gift card to Mitchell's Ice Cream.
What? Would you give her something?
Yep, a gift card to Mitchell's Ice Cream.
Oh! Right. We'll get that to you, honey. You can stay right there now. We'll get it to you. Oh, here it is right now. That's your gift card, Mitchell's Ice Cream. Remember me when you go. Wow, that's cool. She was very good. Let's see. Emily Wendell from Columbus, attorney. What embarrassing hobby are you going to take up in your retirement? I was seriously thinking of painting Civil War miniatures. Because it's something I know I could do. And a lot of this other stuff you got to have a skill for, skill set. But that's not so bad. And then I did want to get to, let's see. Yeah, Jimmy Milliner from Painesville. 14. Where is Jimmy? Down there. Okay. Jimmy, I'm going to come around to you this time. Well, you come down front here, and I'll come around and meet you halfway there. And because I think I can help with this question, which is, why are girls so hard to talk to? Now, you're a handsome young man. You're a nice-looking guy. You're smart. You seem like be a pleasant individual. You're not, you know... somebody is going to lay a line on a young lady, right?
I guess.
You don't go up and say, hey, what's happening? You don't do that sort of thing, right?
No.
You know what you got to do is, first of all, just say hello and and show interest in them.
Okay.
In fact, hang on every word they say back to you and follow up on what they say to you with another question about them. Say nothing about yourself. Because they don't really care anyway.
Probably not.
Yeah. But if you show an interest in them, then they will think, well, this guy really is all right.
Okay.
Try that.
All right.
Isn't? Yeah, I think it'll work. It'll
That's
work.
Not
Trust
bad
me.
Advice.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
And report back to me.
All right, I will.
Okay, thanks. Good. I'm glad we had this talk. All right. That's like Mr. Cleaver talking to Beaver. I'm Mr. Cleaver now. Okay, we're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Okay. You're telling me what to do. And you brought a pick me sign. That can't be right. What? Well, look at here. This is an elaborate. Very nice. It's a good try. Look at her. She made a lightning bolt striking an outhouse sign.
Our audience
you
got creative.
You got to respect that. Come on, let's get her down here. Or we'll get her down there. Come around here. I respect the effort that went into that sign making. Because it's come here and then come around here. This is hard to maneuver around. It's a beautiful theater, but it's hard to do a comedy quiz show in sometimes. Because yes, okay, we saw the sign. You can put it down now. Just bring yourself over here. Let's find out if you qualify. I suspect you do. Hi.
Hi.
Hello. All right. And who are you?
I'm Trudy E. Bell, writer and editor.
Okay. Do you have your resume with you, Trudy E. Bell? Or...
I could email it to you.
Trudy, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because my house was struck by lightning.
Oh, that's what that sign means. Your house was struck by lightning. Okay, come on up. Bring your sign with you, Trudy E. Bell, writer and editor. Oh, boy.
I have to say, I love all the signs that our audience brought out. Makes me feel like I'm at a rock concert.
Yeah. Do you have a lightning rod or something on there or anything?
No,
arresters?
I moved.
You moved. Did you move before it struck or during?
After.
Right after, okay. When did this happen?
It happened in August of 2003.
Uh-huh.
It took me a while to move. I didn't move until about 10 years later.
Oh, you did? Okay. So you're still in shock probably from the bolt.
Probably, yeah.
Were you at home when it happened?
Yes. It happened in the middle of the night, and it turned out it struck the chimney over my head. Uh-huh. The lightning bolt vaporized the damper cable, which was about 2 feet from my head behind the thing, behind the wall. And I didn't discover the damage until I went downstairs the next day and found the fireplace blasted into my office.
Oh, my God.
But
was
I lived...
No one was hurt?
No, which was miraculous. It was miraculous it didn't set the house on fire and everything. But the insurance company covered it, and they...
Where was your house?
My house was in Lakewood.
Lakewood. So anyone who's shopping for a house that sees one on the market that seems a little cheap...
It's on Andrews Avenue, but somebody else bought it.
Oh, okay. And Emily, you said, right?
Excuse me?
Is it Emily?
Trudy.
Trudy, that's right. I don't know where I got... Trudy E.
Yes.
That's where I got Emily from. Yeah. Trudy E. And what do you write and publish and all that?
I'm a science journalist.
Oh, you are. Oh, cool.
And I write a lot of popular articles, and I write books.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. What's your most recent thing that you've written on?
Well, the most recent thing that I'm working on, actually, I'm working on a history of the 1913 flood, which was the most widespread natural disaster in the United States that nobody ever knows about, and Ohio was ground zero, and Cleveland was the first responder.
No kidding. Wow, well, that's very interesting. And where will that appear when it's published?
Well, it's a few years in the making. I've already written one book, an Arcadia book on the 1913 flood in Dayton.
Uh-huh.
And I have a blog called Our National Calamity, where I've been posting, and other guest authors have been posting since about 2012. And that's about the 1913 flood. And there are a lot of meteorologists who've been reconstructing this and everything.
Okay. And where's your blog? Give your blog address so people can check it out.
It's actually on Blogspot, but if you Google on Our National Calamity, 1913, and then my last name, Bell, you should find it.
Very interesting. What do you do for fun when you're not being struck by lightning?
Well, I just came back from a 5-week trip photographing wildflowers in Southern California.
Oh, nice.
So hopefully I'll get some travel pieces out of that.
You cover a lot of ground in your writing, editing.
I'm a journalist.
Yeah, cool.
If you live through it, you write about it.
Excellent, excellent. Someone out there will play along with you on our quiz here, and we'll find out how do they do that.
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 216-664-9653 and answer this qualifying question.
All right. Here's the question. In the year 2011, Walk Score ranked Cleveland as the 17th most walkable city in the U.S. Today it ranks as what? It was 17th in 2011, and we want to know, did it go up or down walkability-wise? Let's go to the phones right now. Catherine Elizabeth is in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hello. So,
hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm very good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Catherine Elizabeth, walkability of Cleveland was 17th a few years ago. Where is it today?
I'm guessing it went up. So, 10th?
That's a little high.
Oh, 15th?
What'd you say, 16th?
16th? Yeah, you say I said 16th.
15, you said 16th? Yes, 16th. Yes? It's 16th now. It went up one level of walkability, so it's even getting more walkable.
Oh, well, good for Ohio.
Yeah. It's funny that you got that, being out there in South Carolina. Catherine Elizabeth. This is Trudy E., Catherine Elizabeth.
Bell, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, Catherine Elizabeth.
Hi,
how are you?
Trudy E. Bell.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. The two of you work together as a team. Okay, you know how this works, Catherine?
Yes, sir, I do.
Elizabeth? Okay. I feel like I should use both. Is that okay?
That is correct.
No, that's correct. Okay, good. And Trudy E. Bell, I got to use the whole thing with her. So, okay, take a little longer than ordinary, and we have various categories, don't we?
We do. Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
All right, Catherine, Elizabeth, which one would you like?
Science.
Science it is. Here it is. All right, a skin condition caused by exposure to the sun after mixing tequila, triple sec, and lime juice. Is called what dermatitis?
Sunburn?
What dermatitis?
No, it's a skin condition caused by exposure to the sun after mixing tequila, triple sec, and lime juice. So it's called what dermatitis?
Now, do you drink this or do you apply it to your skin?
I'm assuming you're drinking it.
Yeah, it says drink. It would be a drink, but you get this from having it on your skin from mixing the drink.
From on your skin. Well, if it's on your skin, it might be contact dermatitis.
Okay.
But
or maybe
that's
not.
Probably not what you're looking for.
No. It would be the name of the drink, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here.
Oh,
it's a margarita.
Margarita dermatitis.
Margarita.
Yes. Okay. Catherine,
all
Elizabeth.
Right. Good going.
All right. Good. Saved us there.
That's one right, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, school, and odds and ends.
Trudy E. Bell?
Well, let's give it a shot. School.
School, okay. These are usually pretty easy. It's a wisp of snipe, but a blank of herring. What?
Pardon?
Okay. We're talking about what you call groups of things, okay? When you talk about snipe, there's a wisp of snipe. It means a bunch of snipe. You say a wisp of snipe. What do you say with herring? I'll give you some alternatives here. Do you say an army of herring, a deceit of a herring, or a pants of herring?
Army?
Army is right.
Baby.
Army is right,
whoa.
Yes. Whoa, good insights
whoa.
There. Catherine Elizabeth. Catherine
yes.
Elizabeth. What's left?
The remaining categories are current events, people, places, and odds and ends.
I don't know.
I would say current events, but I don't want to answer a question about Trump, so...
Okay, no, there's not.
Okay, current events.
All right, current events. Okay, it's called Progressive Field, but to what extent or what point did two Indian fans extend the notion during a recent ball game? It's called Progressive Field, but to what extent did two Indian fans extend the notion during a recent ball game? Something rather extraordinary in the ballpark, in the nosebleed section of the bleachers. Yeah, I guess either you saw it in the news or you didn't.
Okay, you're going for it. You're good for this,
yeah.
Catherine.
Catherine Elizabeth.
No, I'm a Dodgers fan. I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You're going to have to do this one, Trudy.
Yeah. Please, don't yell out sex.
I couldn't distinguish what they were saying.
What?
I'm speechless. I have no idea.
They got married.
Okay, you can call it that. We'll give you the credit for that. They got married.
Yay!
Trudy Ego, you'll enjoy food in the Bavarian tradition at the Hofbrauhaus, Cleveland's largest outdoor beer garden.
It's called getting married.
Then
now.
Catch a concert by the Milk Carton Kids later in May at the nearby Ohio Theater of Playhouse Square. Keep abreast of all things Cleveland with a subscription to Cleveland Magazine. Indulge in cutting-edge cinema at next year's Cleveland International Film Festival 41 at Tower City Cinemas. Come back to Euclid Avenue to dine at District, a new breed of American brasserie, and top it off with a bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon from Thorn Creek Winery.
Oh,
Catherine Elizabeth, you've won tickets to a game of the Cleveland Indians at Progressive Field, along with a baseball cap and Mike Hargrove giveaway jersey. Then dine at Sobreo, a Tuscan-themed Italian kitchen. Savor bottles of both red and white table wine from Thorn Creek Winery. Take in the hit musical Kinky Boots in late August here in Playhouse Square. Get your tailoring done while enjoying a drink at nearby M. Lang Clothing and Cocktails. And proudly wear a t-shirt from the Ohio University in Athens, established 1804. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Well done. Oh, boy, I can smell the sausages. I can smell the sausages from the sausage shop. There they are, the sausages from the sausage shop. And we've got here to talk about those sausages, someone from the sausage shop, Renee Close. And we got some beer coming here from Platform 2, so let's do this upright. Sausage and beer, because they go together. So, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. So that's Paul Benner, right?
Yes, sir. How are
from
you?
Platform. I'm good, thank you. And Renee Close from the Sausage Shop. Are you part of the founding family of the Sausage Shop?
Actually, no. My dad started working there when he was 13, and really? The original owner, his family did not want to take it on when they retired, so my dad took the business over.
Oh, okay. So your dad is who?
Norm Hindley.
Oh, your dad is Norm Hindley. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I guess that's what I meant, really.
Yes.
So, yeah, okay. So Norm and Carol Hindley, they're like the people.
The proprietors, yes.
Yeah, wonderful. And it's been in business since 1938,
yes.
Various names and stuff. What would you bring us here? It's an amazing. I looked at the list of all the sausages you have, and it was like 10 pages.
Yes.
Of various sausages and wursts and so forth.
I brought several of the things that we've been making for the past 78 years.
Let's put them right here so I can eat them. I cannot eat them from that distance.
Oh, my goodness.
What am I getting?
Okay,
here?
That's the holiday kielbasa.
Have some, too.
Yeah, yes, I'm going please. To. And the initials are HK, like our founder, Hans Kirchberger, but it's a beef and pork combination. It has garlic and wine.
Oh, there's pork in there?
Yes. Sorry.
Well, I'll just have to make the best of it.
And I'll warn you now, then.
On Passover.
The pâté is made from pork livers, so, you know. And I brought ham, so it's all pork.
Okay. They didn't tell you about me, huh?
No. Uh-huh.
Way to know your audience.
The beer is kosher, don't worry.
Oh, alert. We need one here. Can you
yes.
Tell us a little about Platform, too. It's kind of an incubator for beers, right?
Right, so Platform Beer Company, we're about 2 miles west of downtown here in Ohio City. Mm-hmm. We've been open for a little less than 2 years. And, we have a brew pub. We have a production facility that we opened about 3 months.
Up.
All right, I'll shut up and I'll open beer. All right, so what we have here is a Goza. So Goza is a German-style wheat beer.
Perfect.
That we actually sour. So this is soured with lactic acid, mm-hmm. and we brew it with sea salt, coriander, and orange blossom water. So it's a pretty interesting one.
I'm sure I'm going to like it.
So you're a beer guy?
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have some more pâté.
Well, that was a crisp.
So, disclaimer, it's supposed to taste like that. It really is.
I know, it is. Yeah, I know. I've had sour beer before. I don't really get the point of a sour beer.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's sour.
It is sour, yeah. It's supposed to be. It's intentional, yeah. So, we actually present bacteria in there on purpose.
I know, but I don't usually do that.
Why
not? I'm not. You're right. What else did you bring?
All right, well, chug that real quick so that I can give you the other one.
Yeah.
Michael, I love sour beers, so I might just take that off your hands.
Yeah, take it. Now, what is this here?
That's our beef jerky.
Beef jerky,
yes.
Wow.
It's won several awards. Yeah, you got to really chew it.
Oh, this is a real deal.
Yes.
Delicious. You know, so far I'm loving the liver pâté.
That's also won several awards, even won an international award.
Do these all go back to original recipes from the
30s?
And
yes.
Amazing. And everything is made on premises there?
Yes, we make everything every week.
Yeah, and is all of the beef and pork, is that like locally sourced?
Yeah, a lot of it is from Amish country.
From Amish country?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Absolutely.
And we don't use any preservatives, none of those horrible fives that Dr. Roizen talked about are in any of our products.
Yeah.
So there's no dyes, no nitrates, no preservatives, nothing.
I go with the pâté.
Okay.
It's very much like Jewish chopped liver, except for the pork.
Yeah.
What's this here you got now?
All right, Michael, here's the next one. This is maybe more your lane. This is a smoked Helles lager. So light beer brewed with actually smoked malt. Goes perfect with sausage,
very
or pâté,
nice.
Or anything
very nice.
Smoky. Yeah.
Very nice. No intentional sourness.
No, not on that one.
I know that's a big trend now, isn't it?
Yeah, if that tasted sour, we'd be in trouble. We'd be pulling stuff from the shelves. So.
Now, do all these beers come from different producers?
So what we do over there is we do have a program where we invite homebrewers in. It's on a pretty small scale.
Very good.
That's produced by us, but we do have some on tap.
That's very drinkable.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
I'm afraid we're running out of time here, but I want to thank you. It's from the Sausage Shop, Renee Close, Platform Brewing, Paul Benner, which is an incubator in town with me. It's a great idea. Give all these craft brewers a chance to learn how to roll it out. Thanks very much.
PRI, Public Radio International.